Are you living free? Do you feel free? Are you free this morning? Or do you feel freedom starved? Are you feeling oppressed? Is your freedom being diminished? Or do you feel free to be who you are and to do what you want to do? Are you feeling free today? Are you living free? I think more than a few of us in these last seasons are feeling a disturbing sense that our freedom could be being challenged, that oppression is somehow in the air, that maybe freedom isn't something we can just take for granted anymore. And if you're like me, that heavy oppressive feeling just makes your heart all the more cry out and desire freedom. Do you feel it? Do you desire it? Do you want it to grow in your life? You know, if you've tasted freedom, you know that unique heartbeat within us all in your chest that just cries out for more, because you and I, we want to be free. We want to be free. Free to be who you are. Free to follow your heart's calling. Freedom from all that oppresses and holds you back. And that can be a lot. You want to be free. Totally free. Free. For some of you, I'm speaking your language right now. You're like, yeah, Pastor Tim, I want to be free. Preach it. And some of you are going, where are you going with this message today? I hope that your heart does beat for freedom, because freedom is the deep desire that God puts there. I believe God wants you living the life He has called you to live, unhindered, undiminished, unstrapped by the bondage that holds you back from living into your full potential. Freedom is what our heart's desire is. Freedom is God's desire for us. Or as Mel Gibson shouts in Braveheart, he says, freedom! Are you awake? Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Are you passionate about your freedom? Good. Because the good news today is all about your freedom. God wants you free. God wants you to get free. God wants you to stay free. And God wants you to live your life free. The good news is God wants you free. The apostle writes, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. In Galatians 5:1, God wants you free. Now I invite you, if you're online with us today, type that into the comments. God wants me free. Go ahead, do it. If you're with each other here in person today, turn to someone beside you and tell them, God wants you free. Clearly show them, God wants you free. I didn't hear anybody shout it like Braveheart. All right, as I read scripture, it's clear to me that God's heart beats for your freedom. And all that sounds great, but are you really living into that freedom? Are you really living free? In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, he is passionate about freedom. He tells them that this is everything. As I read this, he's saying, this is everything. In fact, he warns, if we lose this, faith means nothing. He says, if they allow their freedom to be eroded, their faith in Christ will have no benefit. That is startling. He says, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Are you catching that? He's writing a letter to the church. And we're the church receiving this letter. He says, if we let our freedom be eroded, we lose everything. Christ is of no benefit. Here's the message. Now make sure that you stay free. Make sure you stay free. The big question is, Paul talking about the same freedom that you and I are thinking about right now? You know, in the Apostle Paul's world, opposition to freedom was growing stronger by the day. Oppression was starting to take its toll on the followers. They had began their lives by getting free. Now they were struggling to stay free. But some people, who the Apostle Paul calls false teachers, were infiltrating their ranks with teachings that were threatening to take it all away. What was happening? Well, Paul's words reveals the apostle's passion for your freedom. He reminds his readers in Galatia with words that I think you and I really need to hear today. You and I need to take to heart if we are truly going to remain free. This is serious. This is your purpose. The apostle writes, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters." I think the message is clear. He says, you are called to get free, you are called to stay free, and now you are called to live free. Live free as a follower of Jesus. And up to now, you're probably all in for this. This sounds great, but what kind of freedom are we actually talking about? Is it freedom from school? You know, if you are enjoying your summer, you feel free because there's no school. Chances are teachers are feeling the same way. That's great. But now VBS is over. We just saw that here. Practices are starting up. You know what that means, right? You're not going to be free much longer. Maybe freedom is getting the kids to sleep early on Friday night. And as parents, you're like, oh, finally free. Shh. It's a fragile freedom. Enjoy it while you can because you know you won't stay free. Freedom might be getting out of town on a vacation. You booked your VRBO. Got it. You're packed your best swimsuit and you're going someplace where nobody knows you so you can wear it. You think, free at last for the whole week. You enjoy it while you can because you know that Monday is coming and you won't stay free long. Freedom. What could the Apostle Paul be talking about? Freedom from classes that you don't like? Freedom from financial troubles? Freedom from being overworked or overtired or overstretched? Freedom from turmoil in relationships? Or freedom to live how you want, when you want, what you want, to do what you want and be who you want to be? Maybe freedom from illness or sickness or freedom from growing old. Anyone want freedom from taxes? Freedom. We probably all want these at some point in our lives. But what kind of freedom is the Apostle Paul so adamant about? You know, when I hear freedom, I actually do think about William Wallace in that movie Braveheart. Mel Gibson played his character. He was fearless in battle. And with what probably were his final words, he just shouts out this defiant cry, you know, for freedom. Is that it? An elusive quest that we never quite experience? What is the freedom that God desires for you? Well, what is God's freedom plan? I think here it is. The apostle writes it out. God's plan for freedom is life by the Spirit. God's plan for freedom is life by the Spirit. Say that with me. Life by the Spirit. So freedom is living by the Spirit of God. And you might be going, okay, I don't get it, right? I don't get it. And I don't blame you. What does that mean? Life by the Spirit. You know, Mel Gibson's defiant freedom, you know, we kind of relate to that. We can kind of get that. But what is life by the Spirit? How exactly does that work? You know, think again about Braveheart's freedom. You know, it's earned wherever possible by force. We get that. We know about militaries fighting for freedom. The strong can earn their freedom. And if possible, they can give it to those who can't earn it. We can defend it for others if we choose. God's freedom plan, however, is at its core different. It's not about force. It's not about our power. Instead, it's about presence. It's not about power. It's about presence. It's not on our own, but it's by God's grace. It's this gift, which is pretty important because over and over, I've been trying to point out to you that although you are really good, you are an awesome church, you are good. You're not that good. You're not that strong. God's freedom plan is rooted in something beyond our own strength. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:17, which says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever," say wherever, "wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Do we hear that? Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What's he talking about? If you're looking for freedom, and I think we all are, if we're looking for freedom, you'll find it wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. So if we want to be free, we find out, where is the Spirit of the Lord at work? God's plan for your freedom is life by the Spirit. Life by the Spirit. And life by the Spirit is actually this. It is faith expressing itself in love, which is what we discover in Galatians 5, 5, and 6. He says, "But we who live by the Spirit," okay, he's talking to us about what this is about. "We who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us." So here's this grace gift. "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised." In other words, what he's saying, there's no benefit in trying to earn your own way into this freedom. What is important is faith expressing itself in what?
Love.
Faith expressing itself in love. So God's freedom plan is life by the Spirit. That's God's plan for you. Life by the Holy Spirit. And life by the Spirit is faith expressing itself in what? In love. Faith expressing itself in love. And you might be thinking, "Pastor Tim, that sounds really exciting. I don't get it. I don't get it. What does this have to do with freedom?" I'm going to spend a little time here because I think this is crucial for where we end up, how we end up in God's freedom plan. You know, if we're just content with living some nominal, mostly boring, irrelevant religious experience, then, you know, I think that's probably not going to hold our attention. Most likely, over time, you're going to quit that. And if you're not practicing that, if you're catching us online today for the first time and you think that church is boring and irrelevant, then I don't blame you for thinking that if that's your picture of what it is. But this is not what you are called to. This is not what you and I are called to. The Bible clearly says, "So Christ has truly set you free." What does this freedom mean? It means something huge. Free from what? And you're thinking, I know. I went to Sunday school. I know. We're free from what? Free from sin. Well, yes, we are. Free from sin. You're right. Good job. But there's something more. When we dig deeper into the book of Romans, we find this verse in Romans 7, chapter 4. It says, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ." So that law that judges us as those who are falling short, those who are sinners, we died to that. And that's actually good news. "That you might belong to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." So your freedom is all wrapped up in Jesus' death. We died to the law and his resurrection by faith. We are risen to this new life, but now we belong to someone else. We belong to Christ. He died, so you died. He was raised, so you raised. You died to yourself, and now you belong to him for a reason, for a purpose. And this is where it actually begins to start to make sense. This begins to answer all your existential questions that you can't answer on your own. Who am I? You're a child of God. Whose am I? You belong to Christ. Through his death and resurrection, you're bought with a price. And why am I here? Why am I here? The apostle says, that we might bear fruit for God. You are here to allow God's work to be accomplished in your life. As we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is at work in us, not to do what we want to do, but to begin to do what God has created us for, to bring all of creation back into relationship with him. We are created for freedom work, and it is through the Spirit in you. And that's why the apostle is so adamant that you and I not only get free, but that we remain free, that we live free. Paul writes, now make sure that you stay free. I think the apostle Paul is trying to get us to get this idea. Don't mess around with doing religion on your own terms. Don't try to do all the right things that mark all the right boxes so that you look somehow religious and maybe somehow on the balance sheet of life you're going to end up on the right side and maybe someday get to heaven. That's not the message of the good news. Quit measuring your value to God based on what you can do. God's not interested in what you can do. Let me say that again. Thank you, Owen. God's not interested in what you can do. God is interested in what He can do by His Spirit in and through you, according to His purpose. He says, get free, stay free, so that you can follow the Holy Spirit. So if you're going to try to do this thing any other way, I think the apostle is saying, you might as well forget it. This is so serious that the apostle Paul says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision, which is another way of saying counting on your own effort to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to what? Freedom. God has called you to freedom. So here's where we're at. If we're serious about being a follower of Jesus, then we are called to God's freedom plan, which is life by the Spirit. And life by the Spirit is faith expressing itself in love. And now it's about to get really clear as Paul lays this out for us. And we'll start with what freedom is, not what freedom is not, and then we'll talk about what freedom is. So freedom is not, he says, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. The idea is, I'm forgiven, I'm free, I can do what I want. When I became a new Christian, at the same time, I got a job that took me out to Syracuse, New York, and I ended up working with this guy who was a former street evangelist. I thought that sounded pretty cool, and he shared a lot of things with me. He described himself as a born-again believer. The problem was that his life didn't seem to display what the Bible is talking about here, this freedom of the Spirit. He used his freedom to indulge the sinful nature. And, you know, as a new Christian, I thought, you know, this is pretty good. I tried that out too. It doesn't work. Peter the Apostle Paul says, religion like that is poisonous. He says, you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's where you're at today. You're a believer, but you're deep in excusing your sin, and you're stuck. It's the hidden sin that produces this shame in your life, and it's got you all locked up, so you're just not living into the freedom that God has called you into. Your soul is crying out for freedom, but you don't know what to do. The gospel is pretty simple. It says, take action. You can't overcome it. But God can, by the Holy Spirit. Your step is simply confessing it. Confessing it and repenting and turning away. Someone needs to hear your confession. If you're stuck, find a trusted friend or one of us pastors and confess it and be rid of it. Let yourself be forgiven and filled anew with the Spirit. You know, if you're like, oh, I'm not going to come and talk to you, Pastor Tim, I want to tell you, I know what sin is. I have to deal with it myself. We know what sin is. So go ahead, find a trusted friend, one you can trust, and confess it. Let it go. Live free. So we can't live by the Spirit and gratify our sinful nature, but the sinful nature can be overcome when we let the Holy Spirit begin to guide our lives. And here's where it all comes together. And Katie, I wanted to invite you up and your team, if you would. They're going to share in a moment what this life by the Spirit looks like. So here's what's happening when we embrace freely living by the Spirit. We are free. Are you ready? Here's what it is. We are free to serve each other. That's it. We're free to serve each other. The apostle says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." What does it look like to be free? It looks like this. Come on up.
Good morning. Some of you have heard some of this before. This is the fourth time we've gotten to share about Hope Heals Ministry. And there's some pictures. 3 weeks ago, we were in Alabama for a week serving at Hope Heals Camp. And I'll tell you a little bit about what it is, and then my kids will tell you what they did there. Hope Heals is a week-long camp experience offering resources, rest, and relationships to families affected by disabilities. The camper families attend for free. There were, I believe, 400 people at camp this year. 38 different disabilities were represented among the campers, and then even some volunteers had their own disabilities that they deal with. The camper families attend for free, and they all get a week of respite, prayer, relaxation almost in 90 degrees Alabama, 90% humidity, but all the rooms were air conditioned, so that was good. Simple explanation is this: Hope Heals was started by a woman named Catherine Wolf, who suffered a major brainstem bleed at age 26, which caused a stroke, turned her life upside down. She and her husband, their path was one way, and they got sent in another direction, and they are now showing the world that joy can happen even when life isn't perfect. Things can look really, really bad. Catherine is now severely disabled, and she is full of joy. So we're learning from her and from all these people we got to serve with that we don't have to wait for life to be perfect to experience joy. This year I got to volunteer at camp. It's my fourth year with two of my kids, Anna and Sam, and my niece Izzy Schmidt was there with us. She's not here today, but she had a good story to tell. And she gave me permission. We flew to Alabama together. We flew to Nashville, drove into Alabama. We got our jobs right away. And because of COVID, a whole bunch of volunteers had to back out right at the last minute. People were still getting sick from COVID. So Izzy and I were both assigned two campers this year. And that's kind of unheard of because each camper has their own set of special needs, and it's not easy, but it's really good. So Izzy had two campers, I had two campers, and before we met them, Isabel, she admitted out loud what I was thinking. She goes, "I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do this." And then, like almost as soon as she said it, "Wait, we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us, so we're not doing it alone." So Izzy reminded us that as scary as it might have looked, we weren't alone. And we reminded each other the whole week when things weren't easy. I'd like to read what my friend from camp wrote about her family's first experience. And my friend is Kelly. She lives in Texas with her family. And they have a daughter named Chloe who has some severe disabilities and gets around in a wheelchair and is pretty much nonverbal. Chloe's just beautiful. But this is how Kelly described showing up at camp. I wish I had a picture of the welcome parade there. They're talking about the welcome parade. Kelly's words: "We pulled up to the gate and stopped at the friendly face greeting us. 'Welcome to camp. What's your name?' she asked. 'Mastin,' we replied. 'Great. Would you like a loud welcome or a quiet welcome?' the friendly face asked. From the back seat, Chloe put her finger to her lips and gave an adamant shh. 'Quiet it is,' smiled the lady. Then into her walkie-talkie, she said through a big smile, 'The Mastin family is here and would like a quiet welcome.' And we drove on through a crowd of smiling, love-oozing people waving silent jazz hands and waving brightly colored banners to welcome us. From literally our first moment at Hope Heals Camp, we encountered the hands and feet of Jesus, for real. A group of volunteers, a really big group of volunteers, spent summer vacation time, funds, and their servant hearts to bless our family and families like ours. We were prayed for, loved on, listened to, served, humbled, sung over, blessed, and overwhelmed with the goodness of God and of His people. We enjoyed Bible study, prayer, and discussion. We lived a whole week of being wholly accepted, wholly loved, and wholly blessed. There was never a need to apologize or excuse or pretend because we were welcome just like we are, quirks, needs, brokenness, and all. Every detail, every point of accessibility, like the quiet welcome, was taken care of long before we got there. So I thought that explained perfectly the campers' point of view. They were coming for a week of being served. So even if we aren't all physically in a wheelchair like Chloe is, we all live with some sort of invisible wheelchairs, and that might mean illness, relationships, addictions, anxieties. We live in a fallen world, so we all have troubles of some kind. But God's story is one of goodness, and there's joy to be found even in our troubles. In 2 Corinthians, we learn that we're given comfort so we can comfort others. And God has equipped us to love our neighbors, as Isabel learned. And in the words of one of our camp pastors, how we live our lives leaks into the lives of other people. If we show kindness, somebody hurting might feel comfort, and they in turn might be compelled to show kindness to somebody else, and so on and so on. And pretty soon you have people being kind to each other instead of just sitting in the darkness and thinking they're all alone. If we're kind to each other and we serve each other, pretty soon we're all seeking the beauty that God created instead of living in the dark. We were made to live in community, and that might mean here at our own church, it might mean our jobs or at school, our families. That's all community. And sometimes it means getting on a plane to join a faraway community that we get to bring home. Wherever we are, we're called to bear each other's burdens. It is hard, honestly, to leave Hope Heals Camp. And I've heard kids say this about Unite or CHIC, or you're on this mountaintop experience, and it's hard to think about going back to the real world where things might not be so happy and positive. But we were told in our last moment of worship at camp, we were told by a pastor, don't leave the miracle on the mountain. So I was thinking, if we could scoop it up. And I thought that in the last 3 weeks. I'm taking the miracle with me, but I can't keep it to myself. So kids, what do you have to say about our trip? You want to go first?
I go to Hope Heals Camp so I can help people. My job was on the logistics crew. We help families move into their cabins, filled water jugs, set up tables and chairs for events, and gave lots of rides on golf carts and helped give Freezy Pops to everybody. People love the Freezy Pops because Alabama's really hot. Some things at camp that I love are working with my friends. They are from Texas, Georgia, Ohio. First year I even met somebody from Minnesota. The talent show, it's fun, and dance parties, fun after the banquet on our last night of camp. We all dance. I see God at work at camp when people at camp are kind and when kids with disabilities are happy. Look forward to going back next July.
At camp this year, I was a compassionate companion with a two-year-old boy named Jesse, so I got to play in the nursery all day in the air conditioning. And one of my favorite parts of the days at camp was at the end of the day when the volunteers would gather and sing worship songs, and some people would share stories of how they saw God throughout the day. And at the end of the days at camp, I'm super tired and want to go to bed, but that was like really encouraging to get me on to the next day and see the things that happen.
There you go. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Freedom is evident when we use it to serve one another in love. So thank you so much for the service that you demonstrated and inspired us with. Through the Holy Spirit, we're actually fulfilling God's plan. Paul writes, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." One command, love your neighbor as yourself. Can you say that with me? Love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what the Spirit is doing in our life as we live out this freedom. And just like I was watching a former street evangelist in New York, I was seeking something about the transformational life. Just like that, the world is watching you. They see you come to church on Sunday morning, and they may even be watching online with you. And as we wonder, how are we going to reach out and share the good news with the world around us who seems to be distancing themselves from the church? At the same time we're wondering that, they are wondering if they're going to see the church share the good news with their world. In an article by Connor O'Neill, Twin Cities Faith Leaders, they weigh in on why millennials and Gen Z are shying away from religion. They write that it's now almost as likely for millennials to be religious nuns than to be Christian. Religious nun means there's no affiliation with any kind of religion. Drake Young, a 23-year-old from Minneapolis, a Christian, he says, the interactions he's had with others have shown him that Gen Z really wants to help people. They really want to help people, and they want to shape the future. And when we see religious aspects of the church or other religions tearing that down and oppressing people or hurting them, instead of showing how the church or religion can be used to help people, the younger generations just don't want to associate with that. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is pointing out to his readers as well. We're free not to indulge in the worst of our human behaviors, but to live by the Spirit and serve those who need to see God's love at work through us. Real freedom is serving one another in love. So how can we live by the Spirit? Well, Katie has demonstrated, and the rest of you on that team, what that looks like, serving in love. That's one example. My encouragement to you is pray and ask the Holy Spirit, how can you demonstrate God's love to one another and in your community this week? Simply ask. I know that is a prayer that God wants to answer, that God desires for us to know. And I'm going to give you three possibilities. These are not an all in all, but here's three possibilities. Today at 5 p.m. at the Wheaton Pool, there's a group of people that are gathering to clean up around the pool area, pull some weeds around the fence, and clean up the playground just to do some general upkeep there at the Wheaton Pool. I want to encourage you, if you're available, 5 o'clock this evening, come and share some labor, share some love, and be around some people who are also doing the same thing. one way of sharing God's love. This coming February in 2023, if you are looking for a warm place to go, we're talking about a trip to Belize, Central America, to help Treasure Ministries build a foundation for a house that they'll be building this next year. Another opportunity in Belize. If that sounds interesting to you, Susan, would you stand up? If you're online, this is Susan Bumgartner. Talk to her. She'll get you a ticket. There you go. Even better. All right. And next June or July, next summer, we're working on the logistics of a trip to the Alaskan Christian College, where we go to the Kenai Peninsula and work in cleaning up around the camp and doing maintenance over the summer, or potentially in Unalaklik, Alaska, at a camp that is there. So if that's something that interests you, a potential opportunity, come talk to myself or Pastor Greg or Cheryl or Matt Hansen as we talk about these things in ways of serving love. So I want to close with this. Tony Campolo, he tells a story about a town where the residents are all ducks. And every Sunday, the ducks waddle out of their houses, they waddle down the street, and they go to church. They waddle into the sanctuaries and squat in their chairs, and the duck praise team waddles up to the front, takes its place, and then the duck pastor preaches to them. Ducks, he says, God has given you wings, wings with which you can fly. With wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you in. You have wings. God has given you wings, and you can fly like birds. And all the ducks shout, Amen! And then they waddle home. In another community, I've embellished this story a little bit from Ben Patterson. He describes a town of porcupines who make their way to church in the middle of a snowstorm. The storm is so severe that it has knocked out the power, and the sanctuary is very cold, getting colder by the minute. There's no heat as the storm ramps up. So the pastor porcupine, he gets up and he begins to preach on being the body of Christ, on serving one another in need, how the church is the body and how it needs each other to support each other and build one another up. And in the cold winter storm, the porcupines know that they need each other just to keep warm, but they're a prickly bunch. Not used to getting very close, so when they try, they prick each other, so they stand apart in the cold. Don't be a duck. Don't waddle home today. Don't be a porcupine. Don't prick your neighbor. The world is waiting for the church to freely live by the Spirit, to freely love your neighbor, to fulfill your calling, your big, bold, exciting, life-transforming calling, to be free. The world is watching and waiting for you to fly. Are you ready to live your faith freely expressed in love? I hope so. Let's pray. Lord God, you are calling us to something mighty, something transformational, something far greater than we can ever ask or imagine or do on our own. And Lord, we know in the depths of our heart, this is what it means to be free, to freely follow your Spirit in loving our neighbor. Lord, that you are at work transforming the world one person at a time, through your church, through us. So, Lord, I pray along with each of us here today, each one of us, Lord, that we might truly grasp hold of the freedom that you give. If that's you today, if you're desiring to walk in this freedom, to let go of the baggage and the burdens and be free now to love your neighbor, then I invite you just to ask the Holy Spirit in. Say, Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart. Holy Spirit, come empower me, empower my life to begin to work through me. Lord, make me attentive to your Spirit, conscious of your presence, able and willing, Lord, to listen and follow where you are leading, where you are prompting, by your Spirit to love my neighbor. Thank you, Lord, as I anticipate this new day. And if you are listening today online, or if you're here and you have never experienced that love and freedom and grace that we talk about in the scriptures today and in the message, if you have yet to really know what it means to be set free yourself and to know the loving embrace of an Abba, Heavenly Father, then I invite you today, right now, to ask Jesus into your heart, to ask Jesus to set you free from the burdens and the sins and the things that you know you cannot fix, to set you free so that you might begin a new relationship with your Father in heaven. If that's you today, then I invite you to simply begin your freedom, get free by simply saying, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me. And now, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Live inside of me by your presence, that I may truly live and love as you do, and love my neighbor as myself. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.